House will come to order. Messages from the Senate.
Message 101, Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 14, School Facilities Surplus Buildings. Ayes 27, noes 1, excused 2. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 102, Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 48, Community Colleges Carryover Restrictions. Ayes 28, excused 2, signed Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 103, Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 58, Community Colleges Property Tax Expenditures. Ayes 28, excused 2, signed Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 104, Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 30, State Lands. Ayes 24, noes 4, excused 2. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senate Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 36, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Alden, Begbie, Buchanan, Dockstader, Gingrey, Mercer, Olson, Shepperson, Throne. Signed, Representative Buchanan, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number three, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 60, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Anderson, Escobel, Kay, Gilmore, Lubnow, Madden, Miller, Semlek, Walsh, Zwanitzer, David. Signed, Representative Anderson, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number three, to whom House Bill was referred House Bill 118, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Anderson, Escobel, Kay, Semlek, Walsh, Zwanitzer, David. No, Gilmore, Madden, Miller. Excused, Lubnow. Signed, Representative Anderson, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 115, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Goggles, Viegi, McComey, Teeters, Wallace, White. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number six, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred House Bill 62, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brown, Childers, Kraft, Davison, Goggles, Eichel, Yagi, Slater, Thompson. Signed, Representative Childers, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number six, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred House Bill 83, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Brown, Childers, Kraft, Davison, Goggles, Eichel, Yagi, Slater, Thompson. Signed, Representative Childers, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number nine, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 88, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brechtel, Edmonds, Escobel F., Hammonds, Harvey, Lockhart, Meyer, Korberg. No, Stewart. Signed, Representative Lockhart, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number nine, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 114, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brechtel, Edmonds, Escobel F., Hammonds, Harvey, Lockhart, Meyer, Stewart. No, Korberg. Signed, Representative Lockhart, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number nine, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 139, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Rechtel, Edmonds, Escobel F., Hammonds, Harvey, Lockhart, Meyer, Korberg, Stewart. Signed, Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
Committee announcements. Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, apparently I wasn't listening close enough this morning. And House Bill 115 was getting some conforming amendments from the LSO and was not read in. Now I'd like to re-refer House Bill 115 to Appropriations.
Without objection, it is so ordered. Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 62, Natural Resource Large Project Funding. I'd like to re-refer that to Appropriations since our last session we did add appropriations for the operating account for that, and I think it'd be appropriate to send it to Appropriations.
Without objection, House Bill 62 will be re-referred from Committee Number 6 to Committee Number 2. Chairman Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I'd ask for House Bill 60, Homeowners Tax Credit, be re-referred since it has an appropriations to Appropriations.
Without objection, House Bill 60 will be re-referred from Committee Number 3 to Committee Number 2. Announcements. Representative Harshman.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, it's not often I get to introduce someone from Casper, but members of the 57th, remember when I introduced my four little boogers and we had a pretty good laugh over that? And I said buggers, but you guys thought it was something else. But anyway, I have two of my children. My wife, Becky, and I have been blessed with four children. And our two youngest boys, if you could stand up, gentlemen, Joshua is a fourth grader, and Jesse is a first grader. They're going to spend a couple days down here with us. So please welcome them to the house.
Welcome, gentlemen. Keep him in line. We are at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 2.
House Bill 2, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to administration of government regarding probate task force.
House Bill 2, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 20.
House Bill 20, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to courts dealing with senior status judge compensation.
House Bill 20, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 24.
House Bill 24, introduced by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to the Department of Transportation Interstate 80 Study Committee.
House Bill 24, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the following bills for a consent list. House Bill 3, commercial driver's licenses. House Bill 4, business entities reinstatement. House Bill 12, electric utility resources. House Bill 72, required payments as condition of parole. House Bill 102, wheat marketing commission.
You have heard the motion. For those that are a little unfamiliar with the process, what you are doing with the roll call vote is voting on the collection of bills in order, House Bill 3, 4, 72, and 102. Should you wish to change your vote at that time, the chief clerk will call and ask for any reconsideration of the vote, and just stand up and let us know.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hallinan.
The Majority Leader included House Bill 12 in the consent list, and I request that that one be deleted from the consent list and be dealt with according to the regular list.
That is acceptable. The consent list consists now of House Bills 3, 4, 72, and 102. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. I'm sorry.
We're getting a little, I'm a little rusty here.
House Bill 3 introduced by the Transportation Committee and accolading the Department of Transportation, commercial driver's licenses, being enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. House Bill 4 introduced by the Corporation Committee and accolading to limited partnerships and registered limited liability partnerships, business entities reinstatement, being enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. House Bill 72 introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to probation and parole required payments as conditions of parole, being enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. House Bill 102 introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to the Wheat Marketing Commission, being enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Berger, Blake, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Childers, Kraft, Davison excused, Dirks, Dockstetter, Edmonds, Edwards, Esquivel F, Esquivel K, Gentile, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hallinan, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Eichel, Gilloway, Yagi, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Madden, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, McComey, Mercer, Meyer, Miller, Millen, Olson, Peterson, Philp, Korberg, Samuelson, Semlick, Shepperson, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Slater, Stewart, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Walsh, Warren, White, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 3, are there any changes? Semlick, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 4, are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 72, are there any changes? Alden? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 1 no. One excused. As to House Bill 102, are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 3, House Bill 4, House Bill 72, and House Bill 102 have passed the House. We are at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration. First bill, pass. First bill for our consideration is House Bill 13.
House Bill 13, introduced by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to motor vehicles regarding multi-purpose vehicles, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. Chairman Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 13, and I will explain the bill or the amendment as basically these are technical corrections discovered by the Legislative Service Office, and I ask for your favorable consideration.
Further discussion? You have heard the motion. All in favor of the amendment by aye. All opposed by no. House Bill 13, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Berger. Blake. Brechtel. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Childers. Kraft. Davison excused. Dirks. Dockstetter. Edmonds. Edwards. Esquivel F. Esquivel K. Gentile. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hallinan. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Harvey. Eichel. Illaway. Illaway. Yagi. Jones. Jorgensen. Landon. Lockhart. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Madden. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. McComey. Mercer. Meyer. Miller. Millen. Olson. Peterson. Philp. Korberg. Samuelson. Simlek. Shepperson. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Slater. Stewart. Teeters. Thompson. Throne. Wallace. Walsh. Warren. White. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 2 noes, 1 excused.
House Bill 13, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 13 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 19.
House Bill 19, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to crimes and offenses, incest, increase in penalties, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Representative Gentile.
Mr. Chairman, I move third reading amendment to House Bill 19, incest, increase in penalties. Mr. Chairman, this amendment provides for a minimum as well as a maximum already proposed in the bill. The first proposed change is to page one, line two, after incest, insert providing for minimum penalties as specified. The second change is on page one, line 11, after little b, insert subject to Wyoming Statute 713-201. This statute refers to maximum and minimum terms. And the third change is on page 1, line 12, after years, insert nor less than the difference in years, months, and days of 18 years and the age of the victim in years, months, and days on the date the person is sentenced, if the victim is younger than 18 years on the date the person is sentenced. The reason we put a number in here, 18 years and not the age of majority, is we had to put in a number because of the formula in 713-201. So the final change is to page 1, line 14, after both insert fine and imprisonment. In our sexual offenses statutes, We don't have a maximum and a minimum. We do in other statutes. So I thought this was worth discussing, and mostly because I think where I'm leaning towards are the victims' rights and safety. In the case of incest, you're looking at, you know, minors, and I think that we should talk about maybe doing something like this. And if we do it with this, maybe looking at some other bills to do this with to our statutes. And I stand for questions.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think what the member from House District 36 is doing is an admirable thing to try to strengthen this. I think I rise in opposition solely because this is a new concept. We don't have any other statutes where we do a minimum mandatory based on the victim's age. I think there might be some constitutional questions. I'm not sure what those are, but to set the sentence based on the victim's age is somewhat interesting. But my more important question is, because the maximum is 15, if you abuse someone who's only one or two, you potentially are getting into negative numbers. So I'm not sure if the math actually works. Maybe the bringer of this amendment can sort of explain the math better for me.
Further discussion on the amendment. Representative Warren.
Mr. Speaker, I have a concern about this amendment. I'm appreciating the intent, but I'm concerned about the actual consequences of this. Incest is not a present crime, but it goes across a whole gamut of behaviors. It can involve sometimes behaviors that are touching behaviors to much more intrusive behaviors. The type of crime and the extent of damage, you just really can't make up for the damage. But to make a decision ahead of time that there's going to be a minimum sentence on an action that has a whole broad range of possible actions that the perpetrator takes, I think would be taking away the justice for a hearing and for the case to be reviewed according to what the specifics of the case were. And I think we as a legislative body do not want to make that decision in lieu of a court or a judge or everybody involved. So I speak against this amendment. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One of my roles in life is the beware of unintended consequences person. And I'm concerned about the juvenile who is charged as an adult who victimizes somebody older than he is, and all of a sudden, by virtue of this statute or this amendment, we end up owing that person a year rather than sentencing that person a year. Think of the 16-year-old male charged as an adult who commits an act of incest on the 17-year-old sibling. And I'm concerned that all of a sudden, with the language of this amendment, we end up owing that person a year rather than having a mandatory minimum. We have to somehow have a negative sentence, and I don't know how we do that.
Opportunity for discussion on the amendment. Second opportunity for discussion on the amendment. Representative Gentile.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good point. This is the reason I wanted to bring this amendment, was to discuss this possibility. And I know I did ask LSO if it was constitutional, and they said it was, and that we do have other statutes that do have this provision in there. We just don't have it with sexual offenses. So this is possible to do if the body desires to do so. It's just something to think about. Thank you.
You are voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 19. All in favor of the motion by aye. All opposed by no. The amendment has failed. House Bill 19, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Alden.
Aye.
Anderson, Bagby, Berger, Blake, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Childers, Kraft, Davison, excused, Dirks, Dockstetter, Edmonds, Edwards, Esquivel K, Gentile, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hallinan, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Eichel, Illaway, Yagi, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Madden, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, McComey, Mercer, Meyer, Miller, Millen, Olson, Peterson, Philp, Korberg, Samuelson, Semlek, Shepperson, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Slater, Stewart, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Walsh, Warren, White, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
House Bill 19, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 19 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 21.
House Bill 21, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to child support enforcement regarding child support income withholding, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 21, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, Bagby, Berger, Blake, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Childers, Kraft, Davison, excused, Dirks, Dockstetter, Edmonds, Edwards, Esquivel F, Esquivel K, Gentile, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hallinan, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Eichel, Illaway, Yagi, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Madden, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, McComey, Mercer, Meyer, Miller, Millen, Olson, Peterson, Philp, Korberg, Samuelson, Semlek, Shepperson, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Slater, Stewart, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Walsh, Warren, White, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 21, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Excuse me. House Bill 21, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 21 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 31.
House Bill 31, introduced by the Education Committee, an act relating to charter school amendments, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 31, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Berger, Blake, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Childers, Kraft, Davison, excused, Dirks, Dockstetter, Edmonds, Edwards, Esquivel F, Esquivel K, Gentile, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles. Hallinan. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Eichel. Illaway. Yagi. Jones. Jorgensen. Landon. Lockhart. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Madden. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. McComey. Mercer. Meyer. Miller. Millen. Olson. Peterson. Philp. Korberg. Samuelson. Simlek. Shepperson. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Slater. Steward. Teeters. Thompson. Throne. Wallace. Walsh. Warren. White. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
House Bill 31, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 31 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 103.
House Bill 103, introduced by the Revenue Committee, an act relating to taxation and revenue regarding state assessed property, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 103, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Berger. Blake. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Childers. Kraft. Davison excused. Dirks. Dockstetter. Edmonds. Edwards. Esquivel F. Esquivel K. Gentile. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hallinan. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Eichel. Illaway. Yagi. Jones. Jorgensen. Landon. Lockhart. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Madden. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. McComey. Mercer. Meyer. Miller. Millen. Olson. Peterson. Philp. Korberg. Samuelson. Simlek. Shepperson. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Slater. Steward. Teeters. Thompson. Throne. Wallace. Walsh. Warren. Warren. White. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gilmore? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 ayes, 3 noes.
House Bill 103, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 103 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 12.
House Bill 12, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to public utilities regarding electric utility resources, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Representative Hallinan.
Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 12 and will remove it at the appropriate time. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The reason that I'm bringing this amendment forward is that the other day one of our colleagues from the middle of the state indicated that he was reluctant to increase regulation by the state unless there is a clear necessity to do so. I share that philosophy, and this bill does increase regulation. The brief discussion in the House Committee of the Whole that day did not, in my view, indicate a strong need for this bill. I believe in proper deference to committee action, but believe that I need more information prior to voting for it. Information that will be sufficient for me to vote for it would be an indication that this is going to serve a public interest, that industry can work with it, and I am sure that there are many members of the committee here, or the committee of the whole here, that can, the body, that can tell me exactly what those items are, and I anxiously await being informed. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Due respect to the first time, I believe, the good representative from House District 32 has addressed the House, and he did that very well because he talked to us about his issues before he did that, which is good form in my book. Maybe to establish a platform that was not established earlier, I'd like to take you back a little bit in history. There were a number of what are called system-wide outages where one utility gets in trouble and it cascades and it darkens large parts of the country. The biggest one was in the Northeast, or the earliest big one was in the Northeast, took out New York City. It's moved to different parts of the country, ended up in the West doing a similar kind of a thing where many parts of the western part of the United States were without electricity. That generated a group that looked into the reliability of the utility systems, and they in turn directed the public service commissions or public utility commissions, depending on what their titles were, to direct the utilities that they regulated to provide what are called integrated resource plans, and that is, how are you going to prevent these kinds of things from happening and, in addition, provide enough energy so that the growth that we're expecting in these various jurisdictions would be served. Wyoming was part of that. The utilities that had the ability to generate electricity, build transmission lines, and serve customers, and some, both of which, in the Wyoming example, that had multi-jurisdictions were Black Hills Corporation and what was Pacific Corp at that time. They would file this integrated resource plan, which would show projected generation additions or even contract purchases of energy so that they could meet the loads. They would also point out the system enhancements that they'd need to do, like adding backup generation for outages of power plants or power contracts with other systems so that they could keep the lights on. That was all part of the history of the integrated resource plans. That process was generally between the utilities and the public service commissions or regulatory commissions, depending on the jurisdiction. It was not as public and transparent as what this bill will do going forward. This bill was brought to us by a collection of interested parties. The Public Service Commission wanted to have some structure put into the regulatory requirements for the filing of these. The Consumers Advocate, that's a group within state government that this body and others put together to watch out of the interest of customers. The industrial customers, they have an industrial customer group that was a participant in this. And as an example, AARP was a full-time participant in the development of this particular bill. And last but not least, the Joint Minerals Committee had multiple hearings on this during the interim to ensure that fair treatment was given to all. The question of does this reduce or increase regulation, I would say that it keeps regulation about the way it was. The companies that had the integrated resources, generation, transmission, and distribution, had been doing this in the past. This just puts some more structure to that. Is this bill needed? I believe that those that were participants in the development of the bill and the Joint Minerals Committee believe that it was. The question was, will industry get along with this? Let me just say this, that in the structure that was put into the bill, the opportunities to look at the filing, discuss it with the commission, with a regulated utility, and other interested parties starts at the beginning of the filing. And then there are stage reviews as it goes forward so that they stay engaged in the process. My belief is that the industries would like this because at one time they were worried about running out of power because the lights went out and their businesses shut down. Now a number of them in the state of Wyoming are interested in knowing that there will be resources to take care of the load growth that they're seeing in the Campbell County, Powder River Basin, in the Pinedale Anticline, in southwest Wyoming around Rock Springs and Rawlins, and for that matter, the growth here in Cheyenne. So most of the people that are in the business, they want to have some assurance that the utilities that are deprived by this service are, in fact, doing what they need to do to keep the lights on. That's by way of background. I do believe I answered three of your questions, and I may have missed one.
Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I would just like to follow up with a little bit more of additional information about the bill. The first part of the bill, as the good representative from Natrona County explained, is about the integrated resource plans and how important they are not only to the industry but also to protect the consumer and to make sure that they can meet the consumer's needs in the future. But pages 4 and 5 and 6 are probably some of the are also some of the most important parts of this piece of legislation. And that is, as I explained when we introduced the bill, oftentimes it's going to cost like up to $1 billion to invest in a new in new transmission and new generation. And that part of the bill allows an industry to take this new project before the Public Service Commission and work hand in hand with them as well as with their consumers in a very public process to periodically review the costs that they have accrued as they go through the process of building this new generation or transmission as they do that project. This is so critical to not only to the consumer but also to the industry because it gives them some assurance that that these periodic reviews are okay with the consumer as well as the PSC, because we know that when that project is completed, the industry still has to go make their rate case to determine their rate. But having had these periodic reviews through that process gives them some assurance that the costs have been reviewed throughout the construction of the project. So this is a very important bill. It's supported by industry. It's great for the consumer. This is a public utility, which is regulated. It should be a very open process. And so obviously I speak against the amendment and urge support of the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In looking at page 2, Line 5, it talks about public utilities providing service pursuant to 50,000 or more. One question I have, the co-op system generally falls under that threshold. Was there any consideration given there, or what is the position in regards to that, or why is that 50,000 chosen?
Opportunity for first comment. Opportunity for first comment. Opportunity for second comment. Representative Korberg.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We currently have only one industry that meets that requirement. To require anything less than that, to do the integrated resource the plan is very expensive. And they currently do that process. They have the capacity to do it. That's and we, as you can tell up above, we made a voluntary for the rest of industry. So right now in this state, we have only one industry, one specific industry that meets that requirement.
Opportunity for second comment. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think that was a legitimate question on why aren't some of the utilities in there and this 50,000 threshold. It's a very rigorous process, and they tried to identify a utility that had the complexity that is really needed for the review. It's a multi-state jurisdictional utility, and therefore it has ramifications of what they generate in Wyoming may go to another state or vice versa. Something that they build in another state may fill the needs of what's used in Wyoming. So that was a couple of reasons for that. 50,000, there was fairly extensive discussion within the interim committee about where is the right level for that. This was a cut plane that did catch the largest utility in the state, but in fact, the second largest regulated utility in the state is participating in this program, has in the past and will in the future participate in it. The question on the rural electrics is another legitimate question. They, by their design or distribution utilities, they purchase their power from G&Ts or other kinds of suppliers, the Western Area Power Administration, for instance, and do not get into the generation and transmission, but only in the retail end of the service. So they were not as part of the program.
Final opportunity for comment prior to the sponsor. Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd also like to thank the chairman for a very erudite discussion of what they went through to come up with this bill. It satisfied all of my concerns, and I withdraw the amendment at this time. Thank you.
The amendment has been withdrawn. House Bill 12, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Berger, Blake, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Childers, Kraft, Davison excused, Dirks, Dockstetter, Edmonds, Edwards, Esquivel F, Esquivel K, Gentile, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hallinan, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Eichel, Illaway, Yagi, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Madden, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, McComey, Mercer, Meyer, Miller, Millen, Olson, Peterson, Philp, Korberg, Samuelson, Semlek, Shepperson, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Slater, Stewart, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Walsh, Warren, White, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 12, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 12 has passed the House. We're at that order of business of consideration of bills on general file. Representative Miller.
Mr. Point of order.
Go ahead, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you. I would move that the House resolve itself into committee of the whole.
Mr. Speaker.
Subject to the recommendation of the Speaker appointing the committee chairman.
Thank you. You have heard the motion. All in favor, by aye.
Aye.
All opposed by no.
Okay.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Chairman.
I'm going to get him this time.
Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At this time, I would like to introduce to you three individuals who are up in our galley. And in June, they were three of about 1,000 high school students who spent a week in our nation's capital as part of the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association's Youth Tour. And we have up there Justin Faircloth from Chugwater, Betsy Lundquist, who is here from the Idaho, actually, and someone from my own district, Whitney Carrizales from Burlington. So if you'll welcome them to our chamber. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, and welcome to the House. And if you want to see some entertainment, please go to the Senate side and check to see if anyone's sleeping over there after you're finished here. Representative Zwaninger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can I move up the floor?
You may.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the gallery, about 45 years ago, Congress established the William Randolph Hearst Senate Youth Program, which takes two high schoolers from each and every state and through a very rigorous academic and interview process. And they're chosen to represent our state and the nation's capital for what is probably the most venerable, honorable, in-depth government experience that Congress offers. This year, we're privileged to have one of our selected nominees in the West Gallery, Aaron Sinner from Cody. If you'd please congratulate him.
Mr. Chairman.
Welcome. Yeah, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, general file. I'm going to juggle it just a bit. House Bill 25, which is number three on your list, and you have a new list that was handed out to you during lunch. It's got an agenda summary, a date on it a time of 1:43. House Bill 25 will be moved to the top of the list. We have the members of our Appropriations Committee who will be going back into committee. So House Bill 25 will move ahead of House Bill 27. And on the general file list that I have emailed out to you, be careful when you print it. What you need to do is select it out, just one page, and print that selection. Don't print the entire thing. I'll try and fix that for you next time I email it out so we don't waste too much paper. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Before we get started, I have a brief thought of the day here, and, of course, it's in tribute to Dr. King, and it's appropriate for our actions we're about to take. There comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe, popular, or political, but because it is right. The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 25. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 25, introduced by Representative Berger, an act relating to domestic violence regarding counseling period. This bill was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Alden, Bagby, Buchanan, Dockstader, Gingrey, Mercer, Shepperson, Throne. Excused, Olson. Signed, Representative Buchanan, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Mr. Chairman Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill Number 25 do pass, and I would like to defer from the good representative from the Bighorns for an explanation.
Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the 59th, we have before you a counseling period bill for domestic violence. What we are trying to do with this piece of legislation is to amend the better intervention counseling period for domestic violence incidents. And that's explained to you on the introduction of the bill. And at the bottom of page one on the bill, it is to deal with the respondent of a household member who has committed a domestic violence crime. On the back is where you see the change in the statute. And just to give you a bit of background, last year in this House, we amended the permit protection orders from 90 days to 1 year. At that time, we did not work with the better intervention time period for counseling. And so what this would allow is for the judge to work with the respondent with their treatment. What we have found is that it may take more than the 90 days for the person to complete treatment, and it would not exceed the protection order. So you will find on line 9, that is where we make the change, that it would be for the respondent to participate in counseling or other appropriate treatment for a specified period of time, and that the time would not exceed the term of the order of the protection and any extensions of the order of the protection granted. And just to give you a little background, ladies and gentlemen, I serve on the Dove Council, and this is an issue that we have been working on, and we are about ready to present a new better intervention program manual for guidelines. It's something we do not have in the state of Wyoming, and hopefully you have received a handout also about the reason for making this extension. I stand for question. Thank you.
Is there any other question on questions on the discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Buchanan's motion that when Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Bill number 25 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 25 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 27. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 27, introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to criminal procedure, Interstate Compact for arrest of fugitive, repeal. This bill was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, which recommends that it do pass. Ayes, Alden, Begbie, Buchanan, Dockstader, Gingrey, Mercer, Olson, Shepperson, Throne. Signed, Representative Buchanan, Chairman.
Representative Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that House Bill 27 do pass, and would defer to the good representative from the Tetons to explain.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When I first ran for election, I came across a man going door to door, and he said to me he'd vote for me if for every bill I put on the books, I had to take one off. I didn't actually agree to that, and I haven't stuck to that either, but at least this is an attempt at that. This does take something out of our statutes, which we don't actually do very often, and reduces the size of the green books. What this is the Interstate Compact for Arrest of Fugitives was signed in 1935 by four states. It was us, Colorado, New Mexico, and Kansas. In 1935, actually, Kansas only signed a portion of it, and then they subsequently withdrew from the compact. New Mexico withdrew from the compact in the 1960s. Colorado still has it on their books, but they actually have a case from the 1940s in which their state Supreme Court said they would not comply with the compact because they did not consider it constitutional. What the compact allowed in the 1930s was for if you had a fugitive go to one of those states that belonged to the compact. So if a fugitive left Wyoming and we discovered he was somewhere in Colorado, the compact allowed for law enforcement officers of Wyoming to go into that state, grab the guy, throw him in the back of the car, drive back across the state line without ever telling anybody we were ever there. Interesting concept. We seem to have gone a lot further in our modern day. Today, federal case law dictates that we actually have extradition proceedings, that you can ask for habeas corpus type proceedings. And so that actually is because of the federal case law that exists today. Even if this compact did exist and that all the states had not left it, it would not have any effect. So it just sort of has been sitting on our books, taking up space, and there are no states belonging to it at this point. And other than Colorado still has it on their books, but again, their Supreme Court has ruled it improper. And the second reasoning being that federal case law has trumped the compact. So because of that, I would ask that you support this bill and take something off the books.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The good representative from Teton County got some counsel like the class of 00 got when we came in here, and we even made a pledge for every bill we passed, we'd either correct an old statute or remove one, and we've been a dismal failure. And you're up to one, so you've got a head start on us.
Any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Buchanan's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 27 do pass, please say aye. Those opposed, no. House Bill 27 has passed Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 29. Chairman Buchanan.
Oh, thank you.
Just a second, Chairman. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 29, introduced by Representative Buchanan, an act relating to crimes and offenses fleeing to elude a police officer. This bill was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Alden, Begbie, Buchanan, Dockstader, Gingrey, Mercer, Shepperson, Throne. Excused, Olson. Signed, Representative Buchanan, Chairman.
Chairman Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 29 do pass, and there are no standing committee amendments. Ladies and gentlemen, this bill is very simple. Most criminal misdemeanors you find in the state of Wyoming, as a matter of fact, they're defined by statute to be a maximum possible penalty of 6 months and or $750. If you were to review the penalties in both Title 6 and Title 31, you'll find that there are some fairly extreme inconsistencies, and this is one of those. Fleeing to elude a peace officer, as you can imagine, is a very serious offense. It's an offense that often leads to high-speed chases, injuries to third parties, property damage, and just about anything else you can imagine. And so what this bill does is takes the maximum possible imprisonment time, which is currently 90 days, to a maximum possible imprisonment of 6 months. This brings us into compliance with nearly every other low misdemeanor we have on the books. And as it was pointed out to me in committee, the crime of littering even is punishable by up to a $750 fine and or 6 months in jail. I stand for questions.
Representative McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The good gentleman that's introducing the bill and talking about the bill brought a bill that when I saw the title, I didn't bring a bill, but I'm a little disappointed because I was going to bring a bill that would make fleeing from a police officer a felony, simply because there are a lot of people killed when they take off and do these things in their cars and run and wreck and things like that. And I'm getting a little concerned about that, but I like the extended jail time that's possible. But fleeing from a police officer has serious consequences. On in favor of the bill.
Is there any other discussion on the bill, Representative Buchanan?
And I want to clarify one point, that
this is just not about fleeing to elude a peace officer in a vehicle. People are charged with this on foot, too. So there are some crimes with regard to fleeing to elude that or facts and circumstances that are a little less serious, but still the possible penalty is completely inconsistent with the rest of the statute. But I wanted to make that clear. It's not just vehicles. You can be charged with this from fleeing on foot.
Question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Buchanan's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Bill number 29 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those all opposed, no. House Bill 29 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 34. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 34, introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to jury duty pay. This bill was referred to Committee Number 1 Judiciary, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Alden, Begbie, Buchanan, Dockstader, Gingrey, Mercer, Olson, Shepherdson, Throne, sign, Representative Buchanan, Chairman.
Chairman Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 34 do pass, and I would defer again to the good representative from the Tetons.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill is pretty simple. If you'll look on the bill, page 1, line 12, we take $30 and move it to $40. What we're doing in this bill is moving jury pay from $30 to $40, a $10 increase. How jury duty presently works is that for the first 5 days that you serve as a juror, you receive $30 each day. When your jury goes beyond 5 days, you get an extra $20. So if you are serving on a jury and you go to your sixth day, you would then make $50. Through this bill, we're increasing the first 5 days to $40 each day, which would then make your sixth and seventh day go to $60. So it's a $10 increase. How this came about was this past year in Teton County, we had a pretty major jury trial. It came from actually Fremont County, where they had a mistrial. They then sent it over to Teton County. So some of people I know ended up on the jury, including my stockbroker, who it hurt her business very much because it was difficult for people to get hold of her. She was sequestered for over 3 weeks, where she could not communicate out for business purposes. For her, she survived fine. She, you know, it's not going to destroy her business. But she pointed out to me that there were many people on there that, well, not many, but a few, that worked just above minimum wage. And when they serve on a jury, they potentially are running the risk of not being able to pay their rent when they're relying on their income coming in and all of a sudden they're not getting their normal income. They're just simply getting the $30 each day. This certainly could hurt them. The reason for the $40 and the basis of going to $40 is two reasons. One is that if you take a person who's making minimum wage, that equals about $40 a day. So you solve that one problem. The other issue is the federal district court pays $40. And so the thinking was that if the federal district court, if you're called for jury duty in Casper and Cheyenne under the federal court system, you're getting $40 a day, but if you're called into the state district court, you're only paid $30 a day. We thought we should make that consistent. Just so you know somewhat of what other states are paying, Colorado pays $50, Connecticut pays $50, Indiana pays $40, Nevada $40, New York $40, North Dakota is $50, Texas is $40, Utah is $45, West Virginia is $40. Then beyond those, it's all over the place. You can go to Illinois and they pay you $7 a day. A lot of states have a hybrid system where your employer has to pay it for the first 3 days and then the state kicks in. And so there's lots of different systems out there. You'll see on here there's no appropriation. There's two different courts that we're talking about here. The one court, district courts are paid for by the counties. So this would be your county commissioners paying for this. from talking with the clerks of the district court, they pay, they put usually a line item of about $5,000 each year on it. And then it, they're estimating it may cost them a little more.
Chairman Phelps, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but this bill appears to need an appropriation, and I think it should be re-referred to Appropriations Committee. And I'm sorry to do that, but it does say on the fiscal note that it needs an appropriation.
We'll ask Chairman Buchanan to maybe postpone this bill until we can re-refer it to the proper committee, if that's the appropriate action here.
Mr. Chairman, may we have the Rules Committee convene for a moment, please?
Rules Committee, please come up to the desk.
Chairman Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that.
What House Bill?
Yeah. House Bill 34 be re-referred to Appropriations.
So referred. The next bill for our consideration.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
I'm sorry my colleague from Cody is not here, but up in the gallery here to my right, we have the Youth for Justice group from Cody who comes down every year, and their mentor, Debbie White. And I would like to honor their presence here today and the work that they do for Cody and Park County and the state of Wyoming on many issues. And you all have contact with them, which is great, and that's what they're learning about. And teaching us things, too. Welcome.
Thank you for driving all the way down here from Cody. 450-some-odd miles. Representative McComey? Nope. Oh. Representative Bagby.
Mr. Chairman, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Members of the 59th, I would like to introduce our Carbon County Treasurer, Cindy Baldwin. Would you please stand up, Cindy? She does a wonderful job for Carbon County.
Welcome to the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 82. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 82, introduced by the Education Committee, an act relating to health insurance contributions regarding higher education. This bill was referred to Committee Number 4, Education, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Goggles, Yagi, McComey, Teeters, Wallace, White. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 82 do pass. Mr. Chairman, I'm here to explain the bill.
Go ahead, Chairman.
Ladies and gentlemen of our fine legislative body here, this bill is one of these bills that deals with legislative intent. And when we raise the contributions to the health insurance several years ago to 85% paid for by the state, and that included the institutions of higher learning, the judiciary, on there's several different agencies those places involved in this, why the legislative intent was the people that were getting it would get this. Well, the university is a block grant, and the community colleges are supposed to be supplying roughly 60% or 40% of the costs. Well, the legislative intent was that we were handling the health insurance because it's out. We were looking like it was outside of the model, so to speak. Well, lo and behold, our audit department administration information came across a state statute that said that we couldn't do this really without changing the statutes. So I'm here with the bill to change the statute so that what we've been doing for almost 3 years can continue to happen. It's got a little bit of a caveat in it. If you'll turn to page 2, you'll see the changes in the bill. And on line 8, it starts under this section, shall include amounts necessary to fully fund the employer's contribution for those eligible and enrolled employees whose compensation is partially or fully funded from non-federal sources. next comes down and covers the university, and to the university's credit, they pointed out to us that they have hundreds of employees that aren't covered under this. But the way the bill was first worded, they would have been, and it would have cost tens of millions of dollars to the state of Wyoming. So we eliminated with the next language, but the University of Wyoming shall exclude amounts necessary to fully fund the employer's contribution for those eligible and enrolled employees whose compensation is partially or fully funded from contracts, grants, and auxiliary services. These are some of the people that work in the health, the food, and the dorms and things like that. Then we went on to say, if federal funds are not available to cover what's happening now, there are federal grants that are available that this money was not put into the grant to do this. The amounts necessary to fully fund the employer's contribution for those eligible and enrolled employees shall be included in the general fund appropriation. But then it goes on and puts them on notice. New grants, if the grant contains that ability, they are to then use the federal funds to fund that and not come to the state. And I'd stand for questions.
Chairman Landon.
Mr. Chairman, this isn't directly related, but it's pretty close. And it is, I think, some information that would be useful for me, and that is, what are the present terms of the policies that cover state employees at this time?
Chairman McComey.
Well, I guess I'll give you what the history of it is now. It makes no difference if it's a single plan or the married family plan. If you have 8 children or 5 children or 2 children, there are different categories for that, but 85% of the cost of that plan is paid for by the state, and 15% is paid for by the employees.
Chairman Landon.
Mr. Chairman, can you tell me a little bit about what that buys? Do you have it in your? Do you have a recollection of deductible, and then what kicks in after that?
Chairman McComey.
Well. Yeah, I'll give you that because we have a lot of new people on the floor, but probably a lot of people don't know. It's changing. But what they did is they've changed the plan since they've brought the plan under A&I instead of out under this board. And there is a $350 deductible that's available that the employee can opt for. There's a $750 plan that you can opt for. The retirees in the plan are only allowed the $750. They raise the if in fact you can find you have your work done in a participating hospital or doctor, then 85% is paid. If not, it's 80%. It's pretty standard things. At one time they had a $2,500 catastrophic available. But the plan is in flux at all times. They're trying to find ways to make it affordable to everybody and hold the costs down to the state. Did I answer your question, good representative from Sheridan? Thank you.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Seeing none. Question being called, all those in favor of Representative McComey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 82 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 82 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 22. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 22, introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to criminal procedure regarding law enforcement disposal of property. This bill was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, which recommended that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Alden, Bagby, Buchanan, Dockstader, Gingrey, Mercer, Olson, Shepperson, Throne. Signed, Representative Buchanan, Chairman.
Chairman Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 22 do pass, and I further move the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, and to explain the amendment and the bill is the good representative from the northwest corner of the state.
We're on Standing Committee Number Amendment Number 1, Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to explain the amendment, it's actually easier to explain the bill first, and then I'll walk you through the amendment. Where this comes about is this is dealing with disposal of property that law enforcement gets into their possession. They have different, mainly two different types of property comes into their possession. Of course, evidence of a crime, but they also deal a lot with lost property. That's just property that somebody finds on a street or something and they bring into the police department and turn in one comb, one shoe missing its other friend, one wallet empty. We had testimony about half a bottle of shampoo. Just on and on, the list was quite interesting that the testimony was of this lost property and found property that law enforcement has to take into its possession. The present system, how it works, and you can see that this bill starts with the letter P, and so you can tell that the statute above it's pretty lengthy. It's a pretty involved system of how they deal with property. The present system is that all property, no matter what, has to go in front of the court. That property, then, they have three different choices. They can ask the judge, can we have permission to throw it away? Can we have permission to keep it ourselves, especially like if it's a gun? Occasionally the law enforcement agency will actually turn it over to their possession for their officers actually to use. And the third option is to go to public auction and to make some money for the law enforcement agency for operations. So there's essentially three different ways that they can get rid of it. The difficulty is that when they take it to the judge, it's just a long list of property, and it takes a while to get that to the judge. Judge has to approve it. Then they have to advertise it in the paper for 2 weeks for the auction. We have testimony from the Wyoming Highway Patrol that just the advertising cost them last year about $4,000 just to advertise, and the list was quite humorous that they gave us, like one bullet, one comb, one shoe, and you get the point. The interesting, where this bill comes from is the very first sentence of the present current statute says, when personal property not subject to be summarily destroyed, and then it goes on to say, shall be handled in this manner. So the question was, well, what does it mean to be summarily destroyed? And so by adding P and Q, we think we're answering that question. What we're saying is, they may continue to use the current system, but they also have the option of using P and Q for certain types of evidence. And it's actually easier if I explain Q first. Q is on page 2, starting on line 20. And what that says is if they have found property, so this is non-evidence, this is not evidence, this is just property that someone's brought to them, if it has a value less than $50, they can just throw it away. Once they've attempted to contact the owner of that property on 3 non-consecutive days. So if they've tried to find the owner, they can't find the owner, they can throw away that one shoe that wasn't going to get any money at auction anyway. If there are things that are going to make them money, of course they're going to go to auction with it because it's to the advantage of the law enforcement agency to increase their operational budget. What P does is deals with evidence, and it's evidence, everything non-drugs. If it's drugs, there's a totally different statute dealing with disposal of drugs. And what this allows is that they may dispose of it, or they can go through the other process where they turn it into their own possession or go to public auction. But this allows them to get rid of things that just pile up in evidence lockup that have no value and that just clutter the place up. We had quite extensive testimony from different law enforcement agencies about the magnitude of stuff they have in their evidence lockups. What Romanet 1 says there on line 2 on page 2 is that if you're all done with the case, you've prosecuted the case, their appeal process has ran, you can throw this stuff away. And it's usually, and that's after you call the defendant and say, did you want the bloody knife back or you know, whatever it is. And usually they don't, and so you can just throw it away. Romanet 2 deals with misdemeanors. It's misdemeanors that at least a year has passed. No suspect has been identified and no prosecution's been pursued. Clearly nothing's going to happen with that evidence. It can be disposed of. Romanet 3 deals with felony cases, and here is where we did do one amendment. We changed the 3-year to 5 years for felony cases that no suspect's been found after 5 years and no prosecution's been pursued. They can throw the stuff away. And then the last one, Romanet 4, is soiled, defective, broken, demolished, or waste can just be tossed. Again, this is not dealing with evidence like you might see on a TV show where they pull the box off the shelf after 20 years later and they all of a sudden they discover the answer. These are cases where they're mostly DUI cases, is what, like with that Romanet 2, they're videotapes, and they're usually videotapes actually owned by the law enforcement agency, but they're always worried to get rid of them. They're videotapes of the guy walking into the jail and taking the intoximeter and that type of evidence. The other amendments are on page 3, line 6, we changed different days to non-consecutive days. And then on page 3, line 7, we added a subsection R. There was some concern that if law enforcement agencies were throwing things away, that they potentially would throw away some biological evidence that would clear somebody's name 50 years from now. And so that was put in there, and what it says is biological evidence will be kept until the day that person actually dies. And so that sort of covered that question, and that was a concern. I think that explains both the amendment and the bill.
Any other questions on the Standing Committee amendment? Seeing none, question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Is there any other discussion on the bill? Representative McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. But the good gentleman from Teton County would help me with, I just have a question, not being an attorney, and I don't understand all the different statutes and starting a P. Sometimes the victim has evidence that they keep as evidence, something that belongs to the victim, and I didn't see anything here that talked about it would go back to the victim, or maybe that's someplace else, that the victim could then get it.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to answer that question, on page 1, line 15, it says, provided the lawful owner has been contacted. So if the victim is the lawful owner, then the victim would have been contacted. And the same with, that explains that.
Representative Wanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a couple of questions on this for the good representative from District 23. One of my concerns is who determines if it's worth $50 or if it's not worth $50? And secondly, if it decides to be destroyed, who certifies that it gets destroyed? And just to elaborate on that a little bit, in our business, it mentions here that things are broken or soiled. Not everything that's broken or soiled has no value. For instance, I would like to use an extreme example. Some of you may have heard of a very rich gentleman in Vegas that was getting ready to sell a very rich painting, and as he was pointing out to the painting, he put his hand through it. Now, I would suggest to you suggest to the body that that painting was broken, but it still had a substantial amount of value to it. But if you could answer those questions, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Value would be determined by the law enforcement agency, which under current law already has that discretion to make those type of decisions. And I think that was the question. Yeah.
Question having been called, all those in favor of Representative Representative Buchanan's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 22 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. House Bill 22 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration
is House Bill 17. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 17, introduced by the School Facilities Commission, an act relating to school facilities, major maintenance enforcement. This bill was referred to Committee Number 4, Education, which recommends that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Goggles, Yagi, McComey, Teeters, Wallace, White. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with the recommendation that House Bill Number 17 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee amendments.
Any discussion on the Standing Committee amendment? You've heard the motion. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, no. The Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Representative or Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, Mr. Chairman, there was an audit done on the major maintenance of the school facilities program, and some of the reporting that was done with that also turned up the fact that there were some items that were not allowed for major maintenance payments, and such as 5 or 6 cans of paint, various other things like this that were should have been routine maintenance. There were other items, but that's just an example that I'm giving you. But it turns out there, because of the reporting time frames, it was difficult, and there really wasn't any way for the School Facilities Committee Commission to get the money back that was wrongfully spent. What this bill does is attempts to do that and attempts to lay out a guideline on that. And if you'll go on page 3, down on line 17 is where it begins. And if you'll, it says, if any district expends funds within the separate accounts for the purposes not authorized by this subsection or by rule and regulation of the commission, the payments for that district immediately succeeding shall be reduced by the amount of the unauthorized expenditure in which the school year, this is the amendment, in which the school year following the year in which the expenditure was discovered by the commission, or the school year in which notification was provided by the commission, whichever occurs first. And the broad time period is because of the reporting times, the times that these different reports come in and the times that the money is then reissued from the major maintenance. And that's really the crux of the bill.
Is there any further discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative McComey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Bill Number 17 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 17 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 123. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 123, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to agriculture regarding seed laws. This bill was referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, which recommended that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Blake, Brechtel, Dirks, Edmonds, Samuelson, Semlek, Teeters, Wallace, Zwanitzer, Dam. Signed, Representative Samuelson, Chairman.
Chairman Samuelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 123 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment, and I will give you a brief explanation of the Standing Committee Amendment at this time. This amendment, while it's about 2 pages long, actually clears up some of the ambiguity between the board and the advisory group that you'll see in the first couple paragraphs, and then it
brings a little more conformity with the national standards and the surrounding state standards for their seed laws. And with that said, I would call for a question on the Standing Committee Amendment.
Question having been called, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Standing Committee Amendment number one has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Representative or Chairman Samuelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, now for the explanation of the bill, I will turn the floor over to the man with the golden voice from District 2.
Representative Burks.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 123, Seed Law, is a bill that updates the statute relating to one of the brightest spots in Wyoming agriculture, seed production. This segment of agriculture creates value-added crops and an additional processing jobs within our communities. Seed production currently enjoys a competitive advantage in large part due to our unique topography. This bill seeks to sustain that competitive advantage and the associated industry, along with related activities such as reclamation. The bill is the subject of interim discussion held at Sundance after the seed industry met in early May to review the existing statute. Participants included seed growers, the seed lab, the seed certification service, the agricultural business associations, crop improvement associations, seed processors, and the Department of Agriculture. Details of the bill are as follows. On page 2-6, we can see that it moves the seed lab advisory group from existing rule to statute. This was done to expedite the setting of testing fees at the seed lab. The lab at Powell, since its inception, has thus far tested over 900 species, with new species primarily for reclamation arriving regularly. The Board of Agriculture retains the final word in setting these fees. You can see from about the middle of page 6 to page 11, there's a complete rewrite of the definitions of the Wyoming Statutes 1112-101, which was repealed later in the bill. What this does is provide authority to use newer technologies and testing procedures, which are widely accepted by the industry. This section, as well as many other areas of the bill, brings the Wyoming seed law into agreement with federal seed law, which encourages interstate and export seed sales. The new class of weeds, regulated weeds, which are neither prohibited noxious nor restricted noxious weeds. This would allow a limitation and rule on the amount of regulated weeds per pound in a seed lot. As an example, downy brome, also known as cheatgrass and reclamation seed, is currently limited to 2% by weight, which can be as much as 50% of a grass seed lot by population. Using this regulated weeds, the amount can be limited to 2% by population. Cheatgrass is severely impacting our grasslands at this time, and without this provision, Wyoming becomes a dumping ground for all other states of seed lots containing seed grass. The following changes clean up and clarify language in the existing statute on page 12. This details the exceptions to applicability in storing seeds for cleansing when this end use is not seed. A resident grower who sells seeds to a dealer would be exempt from license requirements. Page 13, grain or seed cleaners are to be licensed in order to allow the lab to address problems that are discovered during the examination of the seed lot. It also gives growers a list of businesses that can clean their seeds. Exemptions to the requirements of the dealer's license may be given by the department to charitable or educational institutions, or if gross seed sales are less than $100 a year. Page 14 removes prohibited noxious weed lists from statute to rule. The reason? Plant taxonomy issues, that is, the Russian knapweed listed Centiaria repens is now Acropolitan. Though the rule-making process, it also allows new problems to be addressed in a timely fashion. Page 16 adds labeling requirements regarding poisons treated to be listed if toxic or poisonous to any vertebrate animal, in addition to the current requirement of toxic or poisonous to humans or livestock. This brings our labeling requirement into agreement with the federal seed law. Page 18 allows the department to handle rulemaking instead of the Board of Agriculture and to issue certificates of approval for seed cleaning establishments. Page 19 sets out the new procedure for setting fees. One, the seed analyst will provide a list of suggested changes to the seed laboratory advisory group, and that group will then review and then recommend to the Board of Agriculture any changes in fees, and then the fees would be effective on approval by the Board of Agriculture after public hearing rather than the full rulemaking process for each change. This section also allows separately negotiated contracts with government entities at approximate cost. These may be with federal agencies such as BLM in the other states. Page 20 addresses quarantine and penalty sections. Page 21 increases the fine for violation from $200 to $750 each day as a separate violation. Page 21 allows the department to seek reimbursement of the cost of control actions, treatments, quarantine, confiscation, destruction, or removal of seeds that are in violation of this act. Collected amounts to be paid to the department's technical services account. The final section repeals the following sections of existing statute. Old definitions, prohibited noxious species in statute, rulemaking authority is moved to a different section, and portions of old quarantine sections are moved elsewhere. So this long and fairly complicated bill is quite important to the seed industry in our state, and we urge this body to move this measure forward.
Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think there's a legitimate question on this regard to the former representative of House District 5. Would you call this a really good bill?
Representative Dirks?
In honor of that fine gentleman, I would concur this is a really good bill.
Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Samuelson's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 123 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 123 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 47. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 47, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to the prevailing wage for public works contracts. This bill was referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, which recommended that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Esquivel K., Gentile, Hallinan, Harvey, Eichel, Landon, Lubnow, Millen, Stewart. Signed, Representative Landon, Chairman.
Chairman Landon.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend that when a committee of the whole rise to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 47 do pass. Furthermore, there is a standing committee amendment, and I move adoption of that amendment at this time. And I will turn the explanation of the bill over to the good representative from Cheyenne.
Representative Esquivel, are you going to comment on the standing committee amendment first?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Probably would be easier to run the bill and the amendment and show where it falls into place.
Go ahead.
Move the standing committee amendment to House Bill 47. And basically what that amendment does is it increases the minimum value of the contracts covered under the Prevailing Wage Act. And on line on page 4, line 22, it adds some verbiage there. After shall insert only and delete 1% and insert the amount specified under Wyoming Statute 16-6-1028. Members of the 59th, I'm not going to make surveys sound as romantic as the good representative from House District Number 2 made weeds and seeds sound. But anyway, you should have got a handout from the Department of Employment. And that does show that they're having trouble with getting these surveys returned back to them. What the committee has done is raise the amount from $25,000 to $100,000 in that amendment. And further, rather than giving them a 1% bid preference to get these surveys back, we're basically holding that 5% bid preference over them. So instead of maybe dangling a carrot in front of them, we're dangling five over them. And that's what the Department of Employment kind of feels we need to do in order to get these surveys back. And I stand for question.
Question? We're on standing committee amendment. I've heard the question. Question having been called, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Standing committee amendment number one has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Is there any further discussion on the bill? Representative Escobel. Is there any further discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Landon's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that bill number 47 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House bill number 47 has passed the committee of the whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I may have just a moment, please.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the committee of the whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion carries.
Reading clerk will read the committee of the whole report.
Mr. Speaker, committee of the whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg leave to report as follows. House Bill 25, recommended do pass. House Bill 27, recommended do pass. House Bill 29, recommended do pass. House Bill 82, recommended do pass. House Bill 22, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 17, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 123, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 47, amended, recommended do pass. Signed, Representative Miller, Chairman.
I move adoption of the committee of the whole report.
You have heard the motion. All in favor by aye.
Aye.
Any opposed by no. Congratulations, Representative Miller. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 35, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Alden, Begbie, Buchanan, Dockstader, Gingrey, Mercer, Olson, Shepperson, Throne. Signed, Representative Buchanan, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 66, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Alden, Begbie, Buchanan, Dockstader, Gingrey, Mercer, Olson, Shepperson, Throne. Signed, Representative Buchanan, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 93, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Anderson, Lubnow, Madden, Miller, Semlich, Walsh, Zwanitzer, David. No, Escobel K. Gilmore. Signed, Representative Anderson, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 94, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Anderson, Escobel K. Gilmore, Lubnow, Madden, Miller, Semlich, Walsh, Zwanitzer, David. Signed, Representative Anderson, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 7, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brown, Gentile, Gilmore, Illoway, Martin, Miller, Quarberg, Walsh, Zwanitzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Illoway, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 56, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brown, Gentile, Gilmore, Illoway, Martin, Miller, Quarberg, Walsh, Zwanitzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Illoway, Chairman.
Committee announcements. Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, will meet 10 minutes after adjournment in room 302 to take up House Bill 97, Hathaway Scholarship Success Curriculum, and House Bill 99, Hathaway Scholarship Program.
Chairman Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet at 8 a.m. tomorrow, January 16th, in H8 to consider House Bill 53, Name Changes Sealed, House Bill 65, Defrauding Drug and Alcohol Screening Tests, House Bill 77, Funeral Protesting, House Bill 87, Burial Arrangements, and House Bill 26, Great Grandparent Visitation Rights.
Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee, number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet on adjournment at 8:10 to hear House Bill 40, Select Committee on Developmental Programs, and House Bill 41, Developmental Disabilities Emergency Services.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business and Economic Development, will meet Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, and we will address House Bill 138, Workforce Housing Infrastructure Program.
Chairman Samuelson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, will meet tomorrow morning in the Hirschler Building in room 1699 to begin taking public testimony on the Eminent Domain 2 bill. So that'll be, and then we will probably continue to work the bill on Thursday morning in the same room in the Hirschler Building to give you a heads up on that.
Wow.
But that's 7:30, not 8.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd ask a re-referral to House Bill 94, Veterans Property Tax Exemption to Appropriations.
Without objection, we'll move re-refer House Bill 94 from Committee Number 3 to Committee Number 2. Chairman Illoway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet tomorrow, Tuesday, January 16th, at noon recess in House 18 to hear a very interesting two-hour discussion on House Bill 11, Subdivisions Exemptions, and House Bill 10, Subdivisions Requirements.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need to announce the makeup of the Select Committee on Capital Finance and Investments. The House members will be Representative Simpson, Representative Cohey, Representative Jones, Representative Shepperson, Representative Martin, and Representative Dirks. A light committee from the Senate will be contacting you to discuss a bill over the next week.
Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For my second time, your Committee 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet tomorrow morning at 8:30 to hear House Bill 16, Community-Based In-Home Services, and House Bill 32, Senior Services Board. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Landon. There will be a meeting of all committee chairmen this afternoon. If you have committee meetings you need to get to, we'll understand that. Other committee announcements? Other announcements at all? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. General file for tomorrow, and I'm going to read you the list. The system has broken down. Here it is. House Bill 48, House Bill 88, House Bill 7, House Bill 83, House Bill 118, House Bill 94, House Bill 93, House Bill 139, House Bill 36,
House Bill 114, House Bill 35, and House Bill 66. Again, quickly, 48, 88, 7, 83, 118, 94, 93, 139, 36, 114, 35, and 66. And, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn until Tuesday, January 16th, 2007, at 10 a.m.
The motion is to adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow, Tuesday, January 16th. All in favor of the motion by aye.
Aye.
All opposed by no. We are adjourned.